The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the Sound Prints magazine for September 16th is now online. Speaking Out for the Blind will feature ham radio. Washington Post has an article by Wagner and Farenthold on Donald Trump's request to remove Braille from elevators in the 80s. Message to Diabetics in Action from D. Clayton. The Indiana State Museum offers an app for visually impaired tourists. The Way Around tagging app, not the same as the rideshare app where way around is separated with a space, describes ways to make your life a lot easier on Android and iOS. There's an article on an Ironman triathlete on Eyes on Success. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine for September 16th is now online. Demo of Be My Eyes and Be Specular, two apps that handle tasks that require vision. The future of accessibility in developing technologies. Visually impaired contestant on Dancing with the Stars. Call to action on autonomous vehicles and the disabled. And the future of macular degeneration treatments. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind, phone 502-895-4598, or email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. From the Washington Post, September 12, 2018, by John Wagner and David Farenthold. President Trump in the early 1980s asked an architect to remove Braille from planned residential elevators in Trump Tower in New York, saying blind people would not live there, according to a former longtime executive with the Trump Organization. Barbara Ress, a former vice president in charge of construction, made the allegation in an op-ed published Wednesday by the New York Daily News and in a subsequent interview with the Washington Post, in which she said the incident happened in 1980 or 81. As the Trump Tower was being designed. According to Rez's account, an architect came into Trump's office to show him designs for the interiors of residential elevator cabs in Trump Tower, which also hosts businesses. He noticed dots next to the buttons and asked what they were, she said. Braille, the architect replied, according to Rez. Trump then told the architect to get rid of it, and the architect resisted, saying doing so would be against the law, she said. Get rid of the expletive Braille. No blind people are going to live in Trump Tower. Just do it, Trump told the architect, according to Rez's account. The use of Braille in elevators is now a requirement of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The White House on Wednesday referred questions about the alleged episode to the Trump Organization, which did not immediately respond. Rez would not disclose the identity of the architect to the Post. Her anecdote was included in an op-ed that argued Trump frequently ordered underlings to do things that were impossible, to castigate a subordinate, and also to blame him for anything that went wrong in connection with the unperformed order later. She wrote that she was not surprised by revelations in Bob Woodward's new book, Fear, and the recent anonymous op-ed in the New York Times attributed to a senior administration official. Both works describe a president whose orders are not always carried out by those around him. Rez, who was a Trump Organization executive from 1978 to 1996, said she learned not to always follow Trump's orders. Some of them you follow, she told the Post. Some of them you don't follow, and you just prepare to take what comes, if anything comes, and the others you fight. She said it was possible to convince Trump not to do what he was ordering her to do, but he would resent it and punish her later. When you win with him, you always pay some way, she said. He was always saying to fire somebody or write this letter to the contractor and tell him this, Rez said. But she said she regarded these seeming orders as just Trump blowing off steam, and she wouldn't follow them. Do you enjoy amateur radio as a hobby? And do you want to network with fellow amateur radio operators? The special interest affiliate called ACB Radio Amateurs is just for you. ACB Radio Amateurs President John Glass joins us to speak out about the affiliate and how you can become a ham radio operator. Listen to this week's Speaking Out for the Blind. Go to http://acbradio.org/mainstream and choose one of the links under the headings. Listen to ACB Radio Mainstream and Now Playing, or call 712-775-4808, and when prompted, press 1 for ACB Radio Mainstream. You may also listen to the program live on the ACB Link mobile app. For more information, go to http://link.acb.org. Show archive page is at http://acbradio.org/speaking-out-for-the-blind. Please note that there is a link located at the top half of the page and below the heading that says Home, Speaking Out for the Blind, where you can subscribe to the podcast feed and listen to Speaking Out for the Blind shows ranging from episode 94 to the present. Facebook page is at Speaking Out for the Blind, and Twitter page is at Speak Out for the Blind. You may also access this at Speak Out Blind. My new show email address is speakout@acbradio.org. For more info related to this week's show, go to the website http://speakingoutforthebliind.weebly.com/list-of-episodes-and-show-news/4-more-information-episode-169-acb-radio-amateurs-rebroadcast. On September 17th, D. Clayton writes, "Hello, everyone. I'm a day late with my message. I was gone this weekend for the burial of my brother. I hope if any of you have been or will be in the path of Hurricane Florence, you are doing all right. Just stay safe. At this time, I don't have a lot to report. We will be having a board meeting next week. I will send out a message with all the information in it. We did not have many on the conference call, but we had a great discussion about doing a letter-writing campaign. I will be letting you know more about that, too. I'm signing off for this week and hope you will all stay safe and have great glucose readings. D. Clayton, President, ACB Diabetics, in action. Phone 515-848-5007. Email deeclayton1@gmail.com. From Hannah Kiefer, K-I-E-F-E-R, Director of Communication at Indiana State Museum and Historic Sites, hkiefer@indianamuseum.org, 317-234-8146. Indiana State Museum launches app for people who are visually impaired. Dateline Indianapolis, September 19th. 2 years ago, staff at the Indiana State Museum and Historic Sites set out to do something few museums had done before: find a way to make a museum accessible and welcoming to people who are visually impaired or blind. But when a visit to most museums includes seeing objects, reading information, and navigating indoors and out, how can that be done? The answer was found in technology, specifically an app. On September 19th, the Indiana State Museum unveiled the Indiana State Museum Guide, a new app specially tailored to people who are blind or visually impaired. As we started working on renovations to our permanent galleries, we realized that we wanted to think beyond the standard accessibility guidelines and give people who are blind or visually impaired a way to navigate the museum independently, said Leslie Lawrence, new media manager at the Indiana State Museum and Historic Sites. As visitors walk through areas of the museum, an audio tour guides them to different artifacts or interactives, providing descriptive information about each stop on the tour. Specific audio instructions, tactile maps, and floor guides create guideposts which make it easier for visitors to navigate the museum. Greg Meyer, a member of the Indiana ADA Steering Committee, is visually impaired himself, and he participated in a focus group to help develop the app. He said the app is good not only for the visually impaired, but also for the greater Indianapolis community, particularly older folks or children who may not be able to read yet. The app is great for anybody who wants to listen instead of having to try and read things, he said. I see this app as being a valuable tool for all of us, however we want to use it. Right now, the app features tours of the museum's two newest galleries, Frozen Rain and First Nations, as well as three of the museum's cultural galleries. More tours will be added to the app as the permanent experiences undergo renovations over the next several years. Creation of the app not only underscores the museum's system's commitment to inclusion, but also specifically to creating one-of-a-kind experiences that can be enjoyed by diverse audiences. We are always looking to provide the best possible experience for all of our visitors, said Kathy Ferree, president and CEO of the Indiana State Museum and Historic Sites. The museum saw a need for this in our community, and we are thrilled to be at the forefront in this area. The app is available for download through the App Store for iPhones and Androids. The museum also has iPods available that are preloaded with the app for a free rental during a visit. The Indiana State Museum and Historic Sites is located in White River State Park, in the heart of downtown Indianapolis. It is Indiana's museum for science, art, and culture, offering a place where you can celebrate, investigate, remember, learn, and take pride in Indiana's story in the context of the broader world. Even the building is a showcase of the best Indiana has to offer in architecture, materials, and sculpture. Easy and convenient parking is available in the attached underground garage. If you would rather not receive... that's disclaimers. I guess that's the end of the article. From wayaround.com, how it works. Tag all your things. Use the WayAround app for iOS or Android and our SmartWay tags to add helpful information to items around your home and office. The simple tag and scan system lets you add a custom description for any item, plus more details like washing instructions or expiration dates. Once you've listed everything you want to know, just hold your device close to the Way tag to transfer your information. Easy peasy. Scan to know. After tagging an item, scan it any time with your smart device or Waylink to hear the description and details. We understand that being in the know requires more than just a dump of information. Because it's smart, WayAround gives you the right information at the right time. For example, when choosing an outfit, get only the item descriptions so you can scan through your closet quickly. Come laundry time, hear just the washing instructions. The example is the app having a display of a blue pinstripe Henley with ruffled collar, and it's sorted by light colors. Washing, machine wash, gentle or delicate, last cleaned, April 4th, 2018. There are buttons to read the descriptions, edit descriptions, and create tags. Tiny tag, big impact. The Way tag is powerful because it's really simple. The tags themselves are about the size of a postage stamp, but don't underestimate their capacity. They have plenty of storage to manage all your important details. What else will you love about your Way tags? Adaptable. Way tags come as stickers, magnets, buttons, and clips, so you can tag your anything and everything. Plus, you can reuse your Way tags again and again. To change a description or add details, edit the information in the app and re-tag any item. There's no need to start over with a new tag or move a tag to a different object and completely change the information. Affordable. Way tags cost about $1 each, making them a smart bang for your buck. We suspect you'll want to tag dozens of things around your home and office, but you don't have to do it all at once. Start small by tagging just one room and add more Way tags over time. Accessible. Near Field Communication, or NFC, is the technology behind the Way tag. Like Bluetooth, QR codes, and RFID, NFC stores information and transmits it wirelessly. All you have to do is hold your device really close to a Way tag. No camera required, making NFC super accessible. Learn about more about how NFC provides better information faster at the hot link. Does your phone work with WayAround? NFC, that's Near Field Communication, is the technology that powers the WayAround information system. Many modern smartphones come with a built-in NFC reader. If your device doesn't have an NFC reader, we've got you covered with our Waylink scanner. Enter your device below to find out whether it will work with WayAround. What brand of smartphone will you be using? Select brand. Something for everyone. Accessibility and diversity go hand in hand. From the start, we designed Way Around with a team of wide-ranging visual abilities. Our founders, Darwin and Armand, both have vision loss, and we've enlisted the expertise of many others with a variety of vision impairments. The result? A system for people with any degree of vision impairment that meet the variety of needs and preferences. Here are some of the accessibility features that make Way Around stand out. The app defaults to the accessibility settings you've selected on your smart device, including audio settings, gestures, and vibrations. Large font and high contrast displays maximize accessibility for people with low vision. No fussy camera required. Three-dimensional way tags let you feel exactly where they are located on a physical object. Then simply hold your phone nearby to scan the tag. Copyright 2016 to 2018, Blind Insights, LLC. All rights reserved. Here are some FAQs about the other Way Around. What is Way Around? Way Around is an innovative personal driving service that gets both you and your trusted car home safely so you never have to worry about driving when you don't feel you should. Because with friendly, timely, well-trained driving teams of two, you can get home worry-free. What services does Way Around offer? Way Around, the convenient Way Around service provides a personal driver to safely drive a user in the user's car anywhere the user desires. Way Home, the signature Way Home service sends two drivers to a user's location. The first driver drives the user and guests in the user's car to home or to another location. The second driver follows to retrieve the first driver. How is Way Around different than other ride services? Way Around offers the highest quality experience for both one-way or round trips, all in your own vehicle. No questionable pickups, no peak pricing, no long wait times. Our user service will get you home or around town, all in the comfort of your own vehicle. I believe that this would be effective for people who have problems with night vision or who become impaired because they've been partying too long or some other such sort of thing. Eyes on Success interview with Ironman triathlete. Episode 1838. Ironman Triathlete, September 19th, 2018. Last week, hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talked with Michael Somsan, a military veteran who was blinded by a gunshot to the head at the age of 23. Now a successful lawyer, judge, and professor, Michael talks about his participation in Ironman triathlons, as well as some of the special challenges faced by blind athletes in these extreme sporting events. The audio and show notes can be found at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And the show is also available as a podcast from Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. You can also listen to Eyes on Success on your Amazon or Google smart home device by saying play Eyes on Success podcast. Check out Eyes on Success, formerly Viewpoint, a weekly half-hour audio program for people living with vision loss. Find out more about the show and get links to past episodes at http://www.eyesonsuccess.net. I looked up Somsan on the web and found this article written in 2017 by Kim Constantinesco for FanSided. How a blind triathlete and his guide took on the 2016 Ironman World Championship. When you think of an Ironman race, you think massive individual effort, not necessarily team sport. For Michael Somsan and Dominic Bernardo, completing a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike ride, and 26.2-mile run is done and celebrated in tandem. Somsan, 46, a former first lieutenant in the U.S. Army, completely lost his vision in 1995 when he was shot in the head while trying to break up a fight. Bernardo, 34, an equally impressive athlete, functions as his eyes. Together, they recently crossed the finish line of the legendary 2016 Ironman World Championship in Kona. The two, who reside just outside of Phoenix, trained together for only 9 months, but they became brothers, brothers in pain, sacrifice, and vision. And when the going got really tough, each knew how to kick the motivation into high gear for the other. On the bike, we hit some strong headwinds on the way back, Samson said, of their race in Hawaii. I started to complain and get irritated with the whole situation. Dominic said, "Hey, I have some news for you. Christina is pregnant." When he told me he was going to be a father, I started pedaling faster, and we both said, "Let's get home to our families." That's how this pair rolls. Bernardo may be the guide now, but he knows a thing or two about perceived restrictions. At 10 years old, he was diagnosed with leg pertus, a hip disease in which blood stops flowing to the joint. The femur removes itself from the hip socket in search of blood for nutrients. Once the blood starts flowing again, it's important that the femur is aligned correctly into the hip socket. During that time, I was put in a leg brace for 2 years, something similar to what you'd see Forrest Gump wearing, Bernardo said. Before that, he always loved to run. Once he got out of the brace, he continued to be active. He ran cross-country in high school and even started receiving scholarship offers, but his mushroom-shaped hip began giving him trouble again. He visited a sports medicine specialist who told him he couldn't run competitively anymore, so he continued to hit the weight room throughout college. It wasn't until he and his wife were watching an Ironman on television years later that he decided to try and get into the sport. "I figured that the cross-training would be good for my hip," Bernardo said. "My wife and I signed up for an Olympic distance triathlon, and I enjoyed it. The thought of doing an Ironman started dripping on me because I had always wanted to run a marathon. So I signed up for a full Ironman in Arizona in 2013 to prove to myself that I could do it, and indeed he did." Finding a new passion. Samson was born in Laos, but moved to the United States at 5 years old when his family was displaced by the Vietnam War. He went on to high school in Europe and college at the University of Hawaii at Manoa on Oahu, where his family resides. So the Ironman World Championship was something he was inspired by throughout his life. However, at 24 years old, while visiting a friend in Austin, Texas, a fight unexpectedly broke out at his friend's house. Samson saw three men attacking his buddy, so he jumped in and got shot in the face at point-blank range. After multiple surgeries and weeks in a coma, Samson woke up to discover that he was blind. "When you become disabled, you're not just sidelined on the couch," Samson said. "You're shoved in there so far you don't know how to come out." Samson's way out was a new career path. The guy who shot him was a student and a foreign national who slipped through the legal system. He was released on bail and fled the country. Because justice wasn't served, Samson decided to... Samson decided to go to law school while concurrently enrolled in an MBA program. Still, Samson wasn't an easy guy to be around. "When I was newly blinded, I was not a pleasant person to be around because I didn't know how to communicate effectively," Samson said. "When I was first out of law school, I went through 5 secretaries in 6 months because it was a high-stress job and I didn't know how to balance my life and communicate." Over the years, Samson developed a greater appreciation for everyone who helped and supported him. He transitioned into his new life as an attorney and grew into a leader in his community by sitting on several nonprofit boards. He also volunteered his time taking on pro bono cases and continuing to be active in running groups, participating in local and national disabled sports programs. Then in 2014, Samson decided to take on a new challenge, a triathlon. He had been a runner, but was never into swimming or cycling long distances. As fate would have it, Bernardo's sister, who helps run a nonprofit called Arizona Disabled Sports, introduced the two men because the organization didn't partake in triathlon events at the time, but she knew her brother could be a resource for Samson. "He asked me to train, but I was fatigued and mentally burned out from the Ironman, so I declined his offer," Bernardo said. "I told him I'd be happy to be a mentor to him, a resource throughout his journey, and when he finished, I would be there to put the medal around his neck." That year, Samson did a sprint triathlon, an Olympic distance, a half Ironman, and a full Ironman, all within 4 months of each other. True to his word, Bernardo was present at Samson's first Ironman finish by presenting his friend with a finisher's medal. That kind of schedule would do anyone in, but for a first-time triathlete, no one would have blamed him for dialing it back and at least taking a year off. Instead, he'd signed up for another full Ironman in 2015, determined to fine-tune his triathlon skills and focus on getting to Kona. I went out to the Ironman Arizona to cheer on one of my friends, and I saw Michael out there again, Bernardo said. I thought, wow, this guy's nuts. He's doing it again? This guy's crazy. Samson finished first in his division, despite the terribly cold and brutal conditions. The fact that he finished, I thought, was remarkable, Bernardo said. I sent up a congratulatory email, and he responded by saying he was looking for a guide for Kona because his was retiring. Samsad had to put his name in for Kona, and in the meantime wanted to start working with Bernardo to develop some cohesiveness out on the course. So they signed up for the Oceanside Half Ironman. A week after that race, Samsad found out that he was one of five adaptive athletes selected to compete in the 2016 Ironman World Championship, the most prestigious race in the sport. Bernardo was all in. Teamwork makes the dream work. When the duo began training together, Bernardo did a bit of research and talked to Samson's previous guides, but a lot of their teamwork and friendship developed with time and experience. I came in as a newbie and we evolved together, Bernardo said. I think the greatest compliment he gave me was actually on the run portion during Kona. He said I was the best guide he's ever had. I think that was just because of my diligence in communicating. Maybe I communicate a little too much, and I probably push him and hold him accountable a little more than the others. That quality is exactly what Samson said he needed. He's intuitive, Samson said. I think sometimes when people are around disabled people, they pamper the person too much and don't give the disabled person room to grow. Dominic dug into me at times when I needed it. With long weekend training sessions that consisted of 2,500-meter open-water swims, followed by a 120-mile bike ride and a 10-mile run, Samson took the push in stride. There were times when we would fight like siblings, Samson said. One weekend I was really tired because I had a lot of work to do and I didn't sleep. I couldn't push it as much. He said, look, I'm giving it all my effort, and because you're not right now, you're going to get me injured. When Bernardo said that to me, I felt really bad because it was true. He was giving up his time, and it was always saying how he didn't want to let me down. I didn't want to let him down either. There's no guide for guiding. There's no doubt Ironman competitors need strength and endurance, but one who is also working as a guide needs an extra reserve. Guides are not handlers, Samsad said. They're athletes, exceptional ones for their volunteerism, dedication, and loyalty and commitment. Remember, it's 140.6 miles for everyone, and if my guide does not go, I do not go. The extra responsibilities a guide takes on shouldn't fly under the radar. You really have to be focused on the other athlete that you're guiding and put them more or less before yourself, Bernardo said. At the same time, you can't neglect yourself completely because if you're not focusing on your nutrition and things you need to be doing, it can impact the athlete that you're guiding because if you can't move forward, they can't move forward. It's almost like multitasking for 15 or 16 hours, and that can be a tough challenge, especially toward the later stages of the race when you're fatigued. According to Bernardo, biking is the easiest discipline to guide someone simply because communication is more straightforward and energy expended in more of a controlled environment. Swimming presents its own challenge because you can't communicate. You're really going off of feel, Bernardo said. Running, there's a lot of stuff you have to move around. There might be curbs or obstacles, and when you make turns, there's cones. That's probably the most challenging. I will not recommend that you finish this article online because the pop-ups are really annoying despite a pop-up blocker. But I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time.